And now, as we approach God's throne, will you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning, these people have come from all different walks of life with all different stories. And we've gathered together here in this place not to hear me talk. Lord, we've gathered together to hear from you. We've gathered together to learn of you and to worship you. So speak to us now, Lord, for your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is the enemy of most school-aged children. They hate it when it comes, and relief washes over the students when it's gone. What is this dreaded adversary of students? Some of you have guessed it. Yes. Homework. It takes many forms. Preparation for tests, research papers, projects. I know we have some teachers here who are all smiling because you sit on the other side of the desk. But yes, homework, most students are not fond of. But can you think back, some of us who are older, can you think back to that time in your life when you used to love homework? There was a time when we actually enjoyed those projects. I used to absolutely love, when I was at school, I used to love show and tell. Did you like show and tell? Wasn't that a fun thing? You remember what that was like? That was the best. You get to go home and pick one of your favorite things. And then you got to go to school. And you get to share that precious object with the class. I remember back, most of the kids would bring their favorite stuffed animal. And they would talk about how much they loved that animal, or they'd bring a toy. The best was when someone actually conned their mom and dad into bringing a live animal to school. That was some of the funnest ones that we had. A show and tell, it involves bringing a piece of yourself before others. The activity, in reality, tells something about who we are as much as it does about the object that we brought. What we're doing is we're showing what's important to us. So I wonder, I've thought about show and tell, and I wonder if show and tell would be different if after the child brings that object and presents it, I wonder if show and tell would be different if the child had to give that object away. Would that change show and tell? Would children still bring that most prized object if they knew when they were done talking about it, they had to give it away? I think show and tell would change. I think we'd have more kids be bringing their younger siblings into class when they got there for show and tell. Well, this morning, we're going to learn about worship. And like the game of show and tell, our worship of God involves giving something of yourself. To understand worship, we have to look at worship in heaven. Amen? To understand truly what worship should be like, we should look at a picture of what heavenly worship is like. That just makes sense. Now, you and I, no matter how great our telescopes are, we can't quite peer into heaven, so we need the Bible's help. So if you've got your Bible with you, open it up to a scene of heavenly worship. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 4 and 5 today. We're going to be in Revelation this week and next week. We're going to look at chapter 6. But for this week, we're going to look at chapters 4 and 5 as we think about worship. So if you've got your Bible, open it up. Or if you've got your iPad or phone, click on it. Find these chapters. And let's learn about worship today. Now, worship on earth should contain the same aspects as worship in heaven. Amen? That just makes sense. So a church service that we have here, what does it include? Well, our church services should have God's presence in them. Should also have praise in it for it to be a true worship service. Worship should include having a focus on Christ. There should also involve, in a true worship service, we should have proclaiming or preaching about what God has done, is doing, or will do. And the last two things a worship service should have Very important, we have to have prayer in worship. Amen? And for every worship service, we should have offering involved. So let's look at this scene of heavenly worship, and we'll see if these same aspects of worship are found in heaven that we find here on earth. So Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, we'll begin right there. John is writing, and he says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." So worship in heaven begins with a focus on the throne, and one sitting on that throne. Who is that? That's God. In heavenly worship, God is immediately present. Now, would we worship differently when we gather here together? Would we worship differently if we could visibly see God here with us? What do you think? Would our worship be different if we could visibly see Him? Well, it shouldn't be, should it? Because God is here with us already, amen? So we shouldn't worship any differently whether we visibly see Him or not. God's presence, first aspect of worship. The second aspect of any worship involves praise. And praising God is everywhere, everywhere in Revelation. Follow with me now. Go down to verse 8. We find these four living creatures. They're strange-looking things, but it says that they do not rest day or night from saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." The living creatures in heaven praise God. Verse 11, we find the 24 elders are praising God. And then chapter 5, verse 9 says that they sing a new song to the Lamb. Is it okay to sing a new song to God? Apparently so. It's all right to sing a new song to God. Praising God. In chapter 5, verse 12, if you turn with me to there, chapter 5, verse 12, we find 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of angels with loud voices saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." We find angels in heaven praising God. And then as it just continues to build and build and build, we eventually get to verse 13. And it says, "Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him." Everything ends up praising God. Have we praised God today? Amen? Have we praised God? Or did you let someone else do the praising in worship today? In heaven, everyone praises. And we are all to participate in praising God in whichever way that we feel led to. It's not the same for all of us. But we have to praise Him when we worship. Okay, so we've seen God's presence. We've seen praise. There's another P that we have to find here in worship, and that is prayer. Do we find prayer in these chapters? It's easy to find if you look at chapter 5, verse 8. Here in this heavenly scene, we have these golden bowls that are full of incense. Incense is fragrant smoke that is going up, and it says that this incense represents the prayers of the saints. So prayer is a part of heavenly worship. In fact, folks, you are a part of heavenly worship. Because those prayers of the saints, those aren't just like super Christians. Those are me and you. Our prayers are a part of the heavenly worship. When you pray, those prayers are up there before the very throne of God. What a thought, amen? It's amazing to think of that. So prayer is a part of heavenly worship. Proclaiming about what God has done. Also a key ingredient in worship. About what God has done, is doing, or will do. Where do we find that? Well, we're still here in Revelation chapter 5. Look at verse 5 with me. This scroll has been brought out. It's sealed up. No one can open it. John begins to weep. Verse 5, "One of the elders said to him, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.'" So the sealed scroll is brought out, and John is told that the Lion, Jesus the Lion, can open the sealed book. And then in verse 9, we find that Jesus the Lamb can open the book, the sealed book, because he was slain for you. So the pinnacle of heavenly worship focuses on the Lamb that was slain, focuses on the scroll. John weeps when it can't be opened because he knows that the great controversy cannot be completed unless this thing is opened. And Jesus can open it. All of heaven focuses on this Lamb. Our focus must be the same. When we come together to worship, where is our focus? Now, folks, this morning we found lots of aspects of worship in heaven that we also do here on earth, but we've missed one, a rather important aspect in worship. This last aspect of true worship is offering and giving. Important key role of worship. Let the treasurer say amen. It's a key component. Can we find giving and worship in these chapters? Have you read through them? Did you see him pass the plate around in chapter 4 and 5? Well, let's look and see if we can find them. Look with me now. Revelation 4 and 5. Let's take a look at Revelation 4, verse 9. From our scripture reading today, it says, whenever the living creatures, what's the next word? Give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne. Where's giving at? It's right there. They give glory, honor, and thanks to God. Have others ever forgotten to thank you for something? You did something special for them, and they forgot to thank you. Ladies, has that ever happened to you? Wives especially? Yeah, some of you are nodding your heads. How does it feel like when you've done something special and they didn't thank you? Kind of makes you feel a little let down. Or have you ever forgotten to thank someone? Well, a few years back, I was camp pastor at Broken Arrow Ranch. This was years ago. And I was the camp pastor there for single moms and kids camp. And I was so excited to speak that night. And so I'm kind of doing the introductions and introduced myself. And I pointed out to everybody who was there, my son, Ethan, who was there with me. This was in our life. This was BJ in our life. It was before Johanna. We didn't have her yet. So Ethan was there, and I pointed him out to everybody. And then just with excitement, I just busted into my talk and started talking. And I forgot to introduce my wife and to thank her for coming. Now remember, I am at single mom's camp. I told him that I had my son with me and didn't mention my spouse. Dawned on me later that night when I'm laying in bed, oh, what have I done? I didn't thank her for coming, the kind of an important thing to do that weekend. Don't forget to thank God as you worship. Don't forget to thank him for what he has done and for his presence in your life. Well, there's more giving that happens here in Revelation, not just there. But we find in Revelation that the Lamb is worthy to receive seven things. You're going to find sevens everywhere in Revelation when you study that book, and sometimes they're hidden, like in this verse. Notice, the Lamb is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, glory and blessing. Seven things. Sevens are everywhere in this book. He's to receive all those things. He's worthy to receive, worthy to be given all these things. Now, friends, how can we give glory and blessing to God? How can we do something that's going to affect God? It says that he's worthy to receive those things. How do we do it? How do we glorify God? Well, a little bit of a clue is in chapter 4, verse 8, where we find those four living creatures who do not cease day or night to say, holy, holy, holy. They never cease in blessing God. The same idea we find from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, where it says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. When I was becoming a Christian, this was my least favorite verse in the Bible. I didn't like this verse because this verse didn't mean that I was just a Christian one day a week or 1 hour a week. This verse meant that it affected everything. And oh, if I could have done some divine editing, just blacked that section out, but I believed in the Bible, the whole Bible, and I wouldn't do that. But everything we do at all times can give glory to God or not. I was challenged by that. Everything we do, that means how we do our work can glorify God or not. How we treat our spouse or our boyfriend or girlfriend can glorify God or not. How we treat our brothers and sisters, boys and girls, can glorify God or not. I see lots of smiles going back and forth right out there on that one. Young people, how you do your homework can glorify God or not. Even how we play games can glorify God or not. Tomorrow there's a pretty big game happening. The Super Bowl happening. Did you realize that? Okay, I want to make sure that you weren't lost. When they play tomorrow, will it be for God's glory or for theirs? Even how we play games. This was a hard one for me. I'll be honest. This was a hard one because it's a bit of a secret. Not many of you know this. I hate to lose. You didn't realize that. I always play to win at anything. And years ago, when Jeanette and I were teenagers, a few years back, we were young and we tried dating at that point in time. We lasted about 3 weeks. It was about as all as we could do. But while we were dating, we were babysitting Jeanette's 9-year-old niece, Tanya. And while we were babysitting, we played a little game together, a little board game thing, a little kid's game. And I played like I always do, to win. And I won the game, not realizing that it was way smarter and safer to allow my girlfriend's little niece to win. So I won the game, and I looked at Tanya, and her face crumbled. She started crying and ran to her room. I thought, oh, what have I done? Didn't learn my lesson, though, because I was still competitive after that for years, but it's all better now. What was that look for, Jeanette? It is. It's much better now. The Lord is still working on me, I guess. Even how we play games can give God glory or not. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13 goes even beyond everything. Chapter 5, verse 13 says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Here in verse 13, every creature, everything gives power, gives dominion, gives control to God. Now, friends, we're looking at giving now. Have we given dominion? Have we given total control to God or not? There was a popular song out a few years back called "Jesus Take the Wheel." Very popular country song that came out years ago. And in the story, the woman in the song is driving along on icy, snowy roads and she loses control. She's got a little child in the back and the car is spinning. And she says, "Jesus, take the wheel," because it's out of her control. So she asks him to take the wheel, and sure enough, the car stops, no accident. As she looks at the child behind her, she thinks, you know what? Not just my car, but my life is spinning out of control. So the song continues, and she says, "Jesus, take the wheel of my life. Take control." It's a nice idea. It's a good song. Then the songwriter, Carrie Underwood, came out with another song. And she sang about what she would do to her cheating boyfriend's car with a baseball bat. And I thought, who's got the wheel now? Who has the wheel of our lives? Do we trust Jesus to drive, or do we got him sitting shotgun? Or maybe in the back seat? Now, friends, I know that country music doesn't speak to all of you. I get that. So maybe that illustration fell flat. Maybe it didn't work for you. That's okay. I got plenty. Got another one in here in my pocket. In fact, I've got an illustration about this idea of giving over control. This illustration that touches everybody. This is one that goes across all demographics. This is an illustration that speaks to us all, young, old, men, women. What illustration could possibly touch us all like that? Simple. Star Wars. Fits for us all. The very first Star Wars ever come out, the hero of the movie, he can't defeat the bad guys until he gives over control. Doesn't trust himself anymore, his senses, and then all of a sudden, boom, he can win. And he can defeat the bad guys. Whom are we trusting to be in control? Well, maybe today you feel like you've given control of your life to God. You're thinking in your mind, Pastor, I'm telling you, Jesus has the wheel. I'm not trusting just in myself. Then my question for you and I today is, what'd you bring? What'd you bring here to worship? Because heavenly worship, true worship, involves faithful stewardship. Amen? I want you to watch this now. You say, Pastor, I'm still not sure if I've actually seen offering in heaven. Not seen it in these chapters. Well, what did the elders do? What did the elders do in worship? Chapter 4 and verse 10. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, in verse 9, then in verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. You say, Pastor, where's offering at? It's right here. They take their crowns off of their heads and they toss them before the throne of God. And what do those crowns represent? Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus says, I will crown you with the crown of life. So they take their most precious thing that they have and they throw it before Jesus' feet. They gave everything, eternal life. They gave their best back to God. Wow. It's amazing to think of what they give. Now let's try to help us understand this morning. Who here is hungry? Come on, someone out there, it's getting close to noon. I know some of you are hungry. All right, I had a brave soul raised his hand here and didn't realize what he was getting himself into. If you're hungry, come on up here. That's right, we're going to do congregation participation today. Come up here, young man. You're going to help me out. We're going to try to understand this aspect of giving. Look at you turning all sorts of red. It's all right. This will be very painless for me. So, all right. You said you're hungry. Thank you for being honest. There's a lot of people out there who are hungry too. Now, we're going to rectify this situation because I, out of the goodness of my heart and out of my generosity, I'm going to give you something to eat. Okay? Never let it be said that Pastor Michael does not feed his flock. All right? So, I've got some food here for you. Just hold on just a second. I just got to get into this bag, which doesn't want to open all of a sudden. Don't you love bags? Well, we'll get it. There we go. All right, I have a day-old banana peel here for you. There's lots of fiber in these things, I've heard. And so we'll give that for you. But you look hungrier than just that. You might need more. And I brought a sandwich here to church. So I got a sandwich for you. You look famished. I don't want you. But, you know, earlier, I got a little hungry. And you never know how long the sermon is going to go. So I left you the crust, though. The crust of it was a peanut butter sandwich, but the crust is still there. So there's some peanut butter, protein. You're going to need something to drink, though, with all that. So hold on just a second. Yeah, there's a little bit in there left, so you can even share this with your friends if you want out there. So here we go. Look at this. Boy, I feel good. Do you feel good? What? I mean, I feel great. I mean, I have helped another. Man, I have given of myself to help someone else. Now, folks, how's my giving doing today? Maybe not the best, huh? All right, I'll let you go have a seat. If you want, you want to keep him? Okay, good. He really is hungry. He's hungry out there. How's my giving doing? The elders in heaven, they gave their entire crown. They could have just maybe reached up there and plucked one or two gemstones out and tossed them to the throne. But no, they gave their all because God gave it all to them. Have we given our all to God? Have we given our best to God? Malachi chapter 1, verse 8 speaks of this in giving. Chapter 1, verse 8 says, "And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably?" says the Lord of hosts. You see, folks, they were sacrificing back then. But God says, yeah, you're giving. That's true. But you're giving me the leftovers. You're giving me the leftovers. What will we give to God in 2014? What did I bring to my worship today? Did I bring my talents? Did I bring my commitment? Did I bring my investment today? Well, my friends, as a pastor, I am so grateful that I pastor at a church where there are so many people who are invested in God's work. I've seen you. You've given your time. You've given your talents. You've given your resources. And I praise God for your commitment. Because I've seen you out there clearing the snow off the sidewalks. I've seen you spending time, spending hours preparing Sabbath school lessons. I've seen you volunteer to spend time outside at night in December, standing in the cold in order to share the good news. That's commitment. And as pastors, we need to thank you and praise you more than we do. And we all need to encourage each other in this. Amen? We need to be encouragers. We need encouragers here at church. My son Ethan, when he was little, when he was real little, about two or three, he was the best encourager you could ever ask for. He was encouraging me all the time about everything. And I mean everything. There was one day, I come walking out of the restroom, and Ethan, kind of a prying question, says, "Daddy go potty?" Yes, Ethan, Daddy went potty. He raised his hands in the air and said, "Yay, Daddy!" I felt good. You know how long it'd been since I'd been praised over a bodily function? It feels good to be encouraged. And we need to be encouraged in our worship. But folks, our commitment to our church and to Christ Church needs to be more than just sitting in the pew and using the potties. Amen? Faithfulness to God begins with realizing God's commitment first. So ask yourself this tough question that I asked myself years ago. What do I mean to God? What do I mean to God? The answer the Bible told me, we find in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Speaking to the Lamb, they say, "With your blood you purchased men and women for God." What do I mean to God? Everything. Because he gave everything for me. Now, if we mean everything to God because he gave everything to us in Jesus, then we have to ask ourselves the next question. What does God mean to me? And after realizing what God has done for us, we have to take a step. We have to. Wherever we are at in our walk with God, and we all may be in different places, wherever we are at, will we grow in our walk with God? Will we grow in our commitment? Will we grow in our involvement in this battle between good and evil? Will we grow even in our giving? It all starts with a step of faith, wherever you are. And God will honor our giving. He will honor our faithfulness and bless us. Because giving is not about funds needed for a new church building. Giving is not about monies that are needed for local ministry. It's about me and you. Giving is about our relationship and our commitment to God. What did we bring to church today? Did we come only to receive a blessing? My friends, our hands, our hearts have to be empty. We can never receive a blessing unless they are empty and open to receive. Sometimes we have to let go of something in order to have empty hands. And I'm here to tell you that God can change us when our hands are empty. Because years ago, when I was just becoming a Christian, just learning about God, Jeanette and I set our date for our wedding. We decided the special day was going to be October 24th. And then the motions started happening to make this day happen. And then I found out at that time that Bruce Springsteen was going to be in concert. Bruce Springsteen was going on tour. Now, some of you don't know, I used to be a radio DJ. And Bruce was going on tour with the E Street Band. They hadn't done that in a decade. So I sat Jeanette down. I said, "Honey, he's going on tour. I don't know when the dates are, but he's coming this fall. And we may have to move the wedding date." And I was serious when I said it. And young and inexperienced. But that's the importance that I placed on music at that time in my life. Now, can God change us? Well, years later, we did get married. Years later, I received a letter from the conference, Kansas, Nebraska Conference, saying that I was going to be ordained in Lincoln, Nebraska at camp meeting on Friday, June 9th. That I was going to be ordained, which was still simply amazing considering my past, that event happened. But I was ordained, and I was going to be ordained, and I got that news, shared it with all my family, and then a week or so later, I was on the internet. This was before the ordination happened, and I saw that Springsteen was going on tour again that summer. And I saw the dates of the shows. And I stared at my computer, and I smiled. It read on my computer, Bruce Springsteen, summer tour. In concert, Des Moines, Iowa, my hometown, on Saturday, June 10th, the day after my ordination, the Sabbath of my ordination, I looked at the screen and I smiled and I said, "Thank you, Jesus," because I was amazed. I didn't care about the concert. Can God change us? Can God take care of us when we give Him control? The next step is ours. Jesus took the first step at the cross. But now, will we respond? What'd you bring today? Full hands or empty hands? Are you ready to grow in your walk with God? Are we ready to grow in our commitment, to grow in our trusting? Because true worship involves faithfully putting God first in all things. Who will have the wheel in your life? Remember, the elders of Revelation, do you remember them? Do you remember their crowns? Where's our crown today? Is it on our heads? Or is it at the feet of Jesus? Let's pray. Our dear Lord Jesus, we love you. We need you. Help us today and every day to have open hands Help us to trust, Lord. Help us to grow. Help us to give of ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for putting the crown on our heads. Now help each of us to lay our crown, to lay our life at your feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.